Welcome back to Lake Effect. I'm Bonnie North. It's great to have your company this morning. It is time at the very end of the month for our astronomical chat with Jean Creighton, who joins us every month to do just that. Welcome, Jean.
Hello, Bonnie.
Great to see you. And this month, we are going to conclude our little mini moon series that we've had. Last month, we talked about various things about the moon, and I thought we would conclude with it this month, starting with blue moons. They're not really blue, are they?
No, they're not. And frankly, I don't know where the expression comes from, but what a blue moon is when we have two full moons in the same month, which happens every 2-3 years, so it's not that unusual.
And that's just because the lunar cycle is whatever it is.
It's 29 and a half days.
Right, so it's
so
not
from
even.
Time to time, you'll squeeze two of those in 1 month.
So that's all it is. There's nothing else.
That's all there is.
Okay. So, well, if the moon isn't blue, it can be red, though.
It sure can. For the same reason that the sun can appear reddish when it's close to the horizon. So if you think of the moon as a disk, its light is going to come through the atmosphere. The lower it is in the sky, the more atmosphere it travels through, plus that atmosphere has more particles than higher in the sky. So that means that if you think of light as wavelengths, so I'm drawing here for you, but hopefully we can visualize it, even those of us who are listening to me. We have a wave that has a long wavelength and blue light that has short wavelength. So it's from crest to crest is much shorter. Red light sees particles that are about the size, let's say, of my fist. And those particles really do stop the red light. They get blocked. They block the red light. Whereas the blue light that's much shorter comes fast and slams into the blue particle and gets scattered. So when I'm looking at the disk of the moon, I see more likely the redder photons than the bluer photons. The blue photons are busy getting scattered in all directions, which is why the sky overall looks blue, but the moon itself is going to look reddish if it's low in the sky.
And that happened the other night on the so-called supermoon full moon, which I understand really wasn't.
Really wasn't. But it is possible to get a supermoon, and that is when the moon looks bigger. Now, we know that objects that are close to other objects look bigger overall. We know that that's how our eye works. But even setting that tendency aside, we know that the moon physically looks bigger because it's closer to us. So its distance from the Earth changes at the few percent level. So there are times when the moon at its closest can look up to 12% bigger. So for people who notice the moon, they'll see, wow, that looks a lot bigger, more spectacular than they expect.
Brighter in the sky.
And brighter as well.
Yeah. And that's because the orbit of the moon is not circular.
Not precisely circular. That's right. It's close. But at the 3% level, sometimes it's a little closer than others, which of course would be a few thousand miles.
Right. And enough to make that difference.
Enough.
How often does that happen given the orbit? How often do we actually get a supermoon? Don't
know. Once a year.
Once a year? Okay. Yeah. So not very often, but at least once a year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, but I think that people who look at the moon often enough will notice that this is spectacular, or maybe it's even more noticeable for people who really don't look up very much, and suddenly the moon catches their breath. You know, how spectacular some of these celestial phenomena can be if you say you're on vacation or there's a special event and you notice something like a beautiful full moon, it kind of gives the whole experience more magic.
Well, of course, the full moon is gorgeous at night, and it's also very romantic for those of us who think in those terms. But oftentimes, you know, when I'm walking to work or something in the morning, I'll see the full moon or even the half moon, or sliver moons during the daytime. So when does that happen in the orbits of the various, our planet as well as the moon?
I'm glad you asked, because a lot of people notice the moon during the day and they're a little alarmed by that because, you know, according to all those nursery rhymes, the sun is up in the day and the moon is up at night and they shouldn't get confused. But the fact of the matter is the moon shows different portions of its bright side depending on where it is with respect to the sun. So, for example, if I have the sun to my left, then the moon is going to appear to me full because I see exactly what the sun sees. But if it's at, say, 90 degrees from the sun, then I see a half moon, what you call a half moon, which, of course, is half of half a quarter moon. And then they're only 90 degrees apart, which means that if the sun is high in the sky, then it could either be at the horizon, the eastern or the western horizon. And if it's even less than a quarter moon but a crescent, then it's only going to be a few degrees on either side of the sun. So I could easily see it during the day.
So this is not uncommon at all.
No. In fact, you have equal chances of seeing the moon during the day and the night. It's just that typically when we see it in the nighttime, it's fuller, so it's more dramatic.
I was going to ask if the, you know, just the general level of brightness in the sky might make it tougher to see when the sun is full.
Sure,
and out.
Sure. You're yeah. much less likely to notice it if the competition is the sun.
Right. But it's there.
Yeah.
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 Okay. And you mentioned the part that we see, the side, there's really not a side of the moon, but there is a face that we see. Is that a good description of it, or is there a better way to describe it?
I would say a side. So the near side, what we call the near side, so it's practically 50% of the surface of the moon. It's a little more, but let's just say it's 50% of the moon that we can see. But the other 50% is always pointing, what we call the far side of the moon, is always pointing away from us. And the only reason why we know what it looks like is because we've sent machines there. It never points that side, which, by the way, looks quite different than the side we can see. That side is always away from the Earth. And the reason for that is that over time, the period, so the time it takes for the moon to rotate around itself, is locked in to the same period that it takes to go around the Earth. So as it moves slowly around the Earth over time, and I guess there's no real way to show that other than to kind of do the experiment for yourself. Take an orange, draw some silly face on one side, and try and move it so that at the quarter turn, it will have moved a quarter. So when in its orbit it has traveled 90 degrees, that it will show you a quarter face, and you'll see that you'll be seeing the same silly face all the time.
So it's not that it's not actually rotating.
No.
On an axis, it's just the way it happens to be turning and at the speed it happens to be turning.
That's right. And frankly, this is not surprising because the gravitational pull of the Earth and tidal forces will make it most efficient if it rotated at the same rate. So this is not uncommon. This is not just for our moon. For many moons, this is true, that the rotational period and the revolutionary period is the same.
So Pink Floyd was right. There is a dark side of the moon.
There is always a dark side of the moon, but that's not the far side of the moon. The dark side could be pointing in our direction or away, but the far side is always away from us.
So the far side is always the far side.
That's right.
All right. Well, Jean, as always, great to talk to you. I hope you have a great summer.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you in about a month.
Excellent.
Professor Jean Creighton is the director of the Manfred Olson Planetarium on the campus of UW-Milwaukee, and she is our regular astronomy contributor. We'll take a short break and then the effort to create a definitive encyclopedia of Milwaukee. Lake Effect returns in just a moment on Milwaukee Public Radio.